speaking here this morning with my good friend Catherine Alexander of The Art of Leadership, which is a consultancy associated with what I would call corporate responsibility, sustainability. Catherine, why don't you just help me fill this in for a little bit here.
Well, it's really seeing the wonderful role that business can have in leading our population into a world that really serves all of us. It serves the planet, and it serves business, and it serves individuals. One of the things that I've been just really excited about is seeing how mostly so far small businesses, but Interface is a big business and certainly a great standard bearer in this area, where businesses are actually starting to see that they can make the earth better instead of just taking from it. And it does mean rethinking how they do tons of things, but that actually makes them leaders in their field because they come up with new ideas and new products and new ways of doing things. And they're saving money because they're not doing it in a wasteful way. So what they save there really adds to the bottom line. So business, I think, is really in a transformative phase. And with that, leadership has to shift as well because you don't work with people in the same way. It's back to the old adage, if you do the same thing and expect different results, that's sort of a definition of insanity.
Yes.
But it is something we do all the time.
Right.
Leadership has to change if business is going to change, and I think that is starting to happen.
Well, that's very good. Give us a sense for what you do. I'm inferring that you sit down with the executive team individually or in a group, probably individually, and you have some level of dialogue, structured dialogue, that elicits from them what they'd like to achieve at various levels associated not only with profit, but with purpose and with the sense of responsibility for the people around them. Is that correct?
It can be. It really depends on the situation and the presenting issues. And I try and work with the client to figure out how to best work with them. But I do have a workshop called Control, Power, and Leadership, where we get the team together, the management team, to talk about what kinds of behavior they want to see in their employees in order to achieve the strategic needs that they've decided they need to have or they're going for. And through that process, we begin to see the kind of leadership that is going to have to be manifested in order to get people to behave in that way.
I see.
So that's about understanding how culture can really make or break a strategy. If people don't believe that it's possible to take risks in an organization, I don't care how much you tell them they should, they're not gonna.
Mm-hmm.
Because
right.
They've seen and they tell each other stories about those people who have taken risks and the horrible things that have happened to them.
Right.
So if you want people to take risks, you've got to shift that.
I see.
They have to be
So what you're saying is that it would be typical for an executive to say, well, I want my people to feel very comfortable taking risks and coming up with new ideas and submitting ideas for process improvement that are tantamount to thinking outside the box. And then you say, well, what are you willing to do to make sure that they feel comfortable and, in fact, that they are comfortable in doing that, that they're not just, you know, committing corporate suicide here?
Right, right.
Well,
and what do you normally do when somebody comes up with a new idea? What's your first response?
Mm-hmm.
And does that work? You know,
mm-hmm.
So if that doesn't work, then what would be an alternative?
Mm-hmm. Well, very interesting. Could you tell us about... Do you have any case studies of which you're particularly proud? In other words, where you had a real, epiphany, not you, but your client had a real epiphany about this whole subject under discussion and went away saying, wow, I'm a different type of leader now than I was before I met Catherine.
I do, actually, and it's sort of interesting. I spent some time working with a public works department in a major city.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the situation was that the residents of the city were really unhappy with the public works department because they kept tearing up streets, and they would start really early in the morning, and they would make a lot of noise, and they would block their driveways, and they were just generally unhappy. They were also unhappy because they couldn't get permits for things that took weeks and weeks and weeks. Things seemed to change in the middle of the permitting process. So they were not very happy. And that city happened to get a new mayor who really wanted to make a difference. So he turned to the Public Works Department and said, "You guys have to get your act together." And to make that happen, he installed a new leader of the Public Works Department. Now, the Public Works Department was composed of five bureaus. Mm-hmm. And one of those bureaus was architecture. Now, public works are really, they're sort of the blue hats, you know, the hard hats of, they deal with infrastructure, they deal with sewers, they deal with roads, they deal with water. Architecture is kind of not like that. Mm-hmm. It's a very intellectual, very artistic approach to life. Mm-hmm. So the person that was chosen was not somebody that the normal folks really resonated with very much. And in fact, the man who should have gotten that job had been there for 30 years, like most of them. They had seen him, knew him well. This new guy had been there 5 years. They didn't know much about him. And he certainly wasn't one of them. But he was incredibly quick, really wanted a learning organization, he told me, really wanted to make a difference. And his whole understanding was so foreign to most of the employees mm-hmm. that it just, I mean, he could have asked for anything and they would have said, yeah, 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 and just gone about and done their own business because
right.
he just carried no weight. Mm-hmm. So I actually worked with a guy who should have gotten his job, who also actually mentored the man who did get the job. So they were friends and they did have a history. And I told him point blank, I said, if you don't step up to change your behavior, none of this is going to work because it's you that are going to make the difference. Now, if you're willing to take the risk and to start apologizing in public, be willing to say, oh, my gosh, I used to do this. Now we're not doing this anymore. Admit when you make a mistake in public. If you do that, they will follow you. If you don't, this is not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me and he said, this is not the kind of conversation I expected to have with a consultant.
I guess not.
But he took it to heart. And what actually turned out to be true was he had long desired to do this kind of thing, but he understood that it wasn't possible.
Mm-hmm.
So he was willing to take the risks, and we did. So for 18 months, we started out with a 3-day strategic plan. People would say, oh, well, you know, 3 days, I don't know what we're going to do in 3 days. I don't know who's going to come. We invited a cross-section of the organization, 80 people. We had over 100 show up. They would call their friends and say, you got to get down here. So we ran out of materials and stuff. But in that 3 days, we created about 15 teams that had agreed upon a vision. Each team took an aspect of making that vision real and set up a timeline when they would report back and what they were going to do. So everybody left that meeting with a clear understanding of where the organization was going to go and their role in making that happen. Then we met, we pulled everybody together once a month, and anybody could come to this meeting, but again, the people who had attended the strategic planning were specifically invited. And again, we had hundreds of people who would show up and watch the teams present what they had done, get training for the next level of whatever it is they were doing, and hear feedback from the residents of the city.
Mm-hmm.
So the leader would actually read letters that people had sent in. And that had a huge impact when they heard that people were unhappy. Now, the leader had been telling them that they were unhappy, but that didn't carry any weight. Nobody,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's just mouthing off again. It didn't matter.
Yep.
When they heard it from the residents, it made a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to go in 18 months from very dysfunctional and really unhappy to the 11th most improved in the nation.
Oh, my, that's a wonderful success story. Well, that's terrific stuff. Thanks so much for sharing. Let's go to a break here, and we'll be right back. Fair enough?
Thank you.
Okay.